ராமாய ராமபத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதயே நமஹ. அரண்யகாண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 16, விண்டர். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. தி ஆட்டம் சீசன் பாஸ்ட் அவே அண்ட் இட்ஸ் பிளேஸ் வாஸ் டேக்கன் பை விண்டர். இட் வாஸ் எ வெல்கம் சீசன் டு தி ஹெர்மிட்ஸ் அண்ட் டு ராமா இன் தட் இட் ப்ராட் தேர் சூக்னகா, ஹூ வாஸ் டு பி தி டெத் ஆஃப் கர அண்ட் தூஷன். Fond couples welcomed it too, as it afforded them constant facilities of warmly embracing each other. One morning, Rama took his way to Godavari, followed by Sita and Lakshmana. Then the latter drew the attention of Rama to the change of season and said, "Brother dear, winter has set in, so dear to you. Verily, it graces the year and ennobles it. Now the people cannot boast of the smoothness of their skin, for the cold makes it rough and chapped. Plants and trees grow in luxuriance. The water is unbearably cold to the touch, while the fire is extremely welcome. Householders wash themselves of their sins through the Agrayana rite performed in the honor of the Pitris. Love and passion reign supreme over the hearts of men. Milk, curds and butter are plenty. Kings start on their expeditions against the army. The sun prefers the southern quarter, and the north is shorn of her glory like a widowed wife with a vacant forehead. The Himalayas, naturally covered with snow, now take fresh layers of it and justify the name the abode of snow. The sun gives a pleasant warmth at noon. One can safely raise his eyes to him. Welcome shade and cool waters. The very thought sends a shiver through our blood. The sun gives not warmth enough. The cold is too much for him. The beasts of the forest lie hid in holes, prevented from going about by the freezing cold, heightened by the bare leafless trees. Men sit rolled up like a snake, as if to render themselves impregnable to the attacks of cold. They sleep not at nights under the sky as before. The month of Pushya draws nigh. The fast falling snow tinges with a dull red everything it touches. Keen piercing blasts tear through the nights. The day wanes and the night waxes long. The moon has handed over his beauty and power to the sun and lies a prisoner behind the bars of sleet and snow, like a bright mirror bedimmed by the foul breath of man. The full moon night is shorn of its luster by the scudding snowdrifts, even as yon Sita, whom the fierce sun has tanned and weakened, but he dare not dream of a millionth part of her supernal beauty and radiance. The winds of the west, naturally chill, are rendered more cruel now that the frost and snow have joined hands with them. In the dark forests, barley, wheat, and other woodland grains glisten at daybreak, white with dewdrops, and from amidst them, curlews and other waterfowls speak to one another in no indistinct tones. To me, it looks like the sorrow-laden forests, venting their grief of their hearts in loud wails and sobs. The tall ears of golden corn, bending low under their precious burden, present the appearance of date palms in full flower. The sun may rise in the sky ever so high, but like the moon looks he with his rays rendered powerless by fogs and mist. His heat and light are manifest somewhat in the forenoon. It is pleasant at midday when the earth takes on a dull red, slightly relieved by gleams of white. The ever-falling snow drenches the soft grass of the meadows and invests them with a quaint charm in the early hours of the morning. While the elephants are driven by thirst to the fords and lakes, they put out their long trunks but draw back with a startled cry. The cold is too much for them. Like raw soldiers trembling with vague fears as the maiden battle draws near, waterfowl line the banks of the rivers and would not cultivate a closer acquaintance. The woodland paths are hit by mists and reeking damps and seen as if they were in profound slumber, unrelieved as they are by flowers. The coursing waters in the rivers are invisible too, thanks to the heavy clouds of rolling fog that covers them like a pall. One can locate the waterfowl only by their cries. the yellow sands on their banks are wet and damp by dew. The pools of water on lofty mountain heights are rendered sweeter yet by the fast-falling snow and the innocuous rays of the sun. The lotus ponds lie bereft of their charm and beauty, their flowers scorched and shriveled by snow, and their bare stalks standing in unlovely prominence. And it is now that Bharata, of righteous soul, turns himself to stern tapas in Nandigrama, his heart filled with utter devotion to you and grief. Renouncing fame and power, kingdom and riches, he sleeps upon the bare cold earth and manages to keep himself alive upon a meager diet. You are sure to come upon him thus early as he wends his way to the freezing waters of Sarayu to have his morning bath and his officers with him. Brought up in refined luxury and soft comfort, formed to spend his days in joy and pleasure with flower-soft limbs of delicate beauty, how could he, poor soul, bring himself to plunge his wasted frame in the dank, chill depths of Sarayu? Yet Dharma has no mysteries for him. Truthful of heart, with senses under stern control, he ever keeps his feet from the paths of evil. That prince of heroes with lovely eyes that put to shame the petals of the lotus, dark-hued even as the surcharged clouds in winter, with slender and powerful loins like a lion, he steals the hearts of all by his honeyed words, pregnant with kindness and sympathy. His long and powerful arms that reach below his knees like the tusks of wild elephants betoken extraordinary strength that is but an outward expression of the warrior's soul within. Still, he has joyfully chosen to forego comfort, luxury, pomp, and power, and lay himself and his heart at your feet, his brother, ever deserving the worship and reverence of the world. He would live the rough forest life that is your portion, even down to the minutest detail, and he has won the worlds of light in consequence. He has falsified that old saw, children take more after the mother and have less of their father in them. I wonder whence had she, the tiger heart Kaikeyi, with a husband like Dasharatha and a son like Bharata? But Rama would have none of it. The well-deserved censure he would not allow, though it arose from fond love that Lakshmana bore to Bharata. He stopped him short and said in accents of grave reproof, "Nay, never does our mother Kaikeyi deserve an unkind remark at your hands, not the slightest. It would please me better if you held forth longer on manifold virtues of Bharata. My heart is set firm on fulfilling the promise I have made to my father, yet I cannot put away from myself the ever-growing yearning to go back and have a sight of Bharata. His sweet and pleasant speech ring in my ears, yet fraught with kindness, sympathy, and devotion. Ah, would that the present moment brought us together, you, he, and I, and saw the close of our exile in the interminable forests." And thus bewailing, they took their way to the river, had their bath, offered libations to the fathers and gods, and raised their voice in prayer to the Lord of Light and other powers. They then returned to their lowly abode, recalling to one's mind a similar scene in Mount Kailasa of Mahadeva walking back to his home of snow and ice, fresh from his bath, Parvati and Nandi following him at a respectful distance. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdehe Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.